Go from a fan of the show to star of the show. Send us your opinions now, and they could be discussed live on today's show. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. It's a little thing we call Football Friday. Are y'all ready for football talk the whole day long? We're going to mix in a little hockey talk, though, because it is NHL Draft Lottery Day, and I know a lot of folks are excited about that, but we got a huge guest list today, figuratively and literally, but let me just get this out of the way. Rod Peterson here, Darren DuPont there. How are you, Dupes?
I'm good.
It's red shorts day. It we is. Wore the same shorts today.
Yeah.
That's good. It's like there's a team photo today or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Which there might be, actually, but when I say a big guest list, John Frenzy's here. How you doing, Frenzy?
Doing great.
All right. He's ready to talk football, of course. We've got Tory Gurley in studio. NFL, CFL, NCAA football alum. And like Lynch giving him a hey, in studio. But you're going to want to hear this, Tory. DuPont, give me your explanation of how Tory looks in real life.
He's huge.
As opposed to, he's like, he doesn't look like he does on video. I'm like, what do you mean? He's way bigger.
It's true.
He's got the NFL.
You can see why he was sitting next to Woodson in the Packers dressing room.
His hands are the size of footballs.
Oh, yeah.
So he certainly chose the right profession, but today he's the grill master. Actually, I know really nothing about this. Can you tell the folks what's going to go down? They're going to want to be watching our Instagram and Facebook stories today for what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be cool. So Tory's been bragging about his abilities on the grill.
And
talking a big game. So he's done all the work, all the prep work to get everything ready. He wants to cook for us. So he's going to be grilling for us at the end of the show, which is great. He's got the meat marinated. They've got burgers. He's got all the stuff ready to go. And until about 8:30 this morning, we didn't have a grill for him. So I'm really glad we were able to pull that together at the 11th hour because it's going to be great.
Phil Rossignol coming to the rescue with the grill. So it's going to be a big day here at the Rod Peterson Show. And Frenzy's deciding whether he wants to stay or not. I think we have convinced him to stay for the Southern Hospitality Barbecue. And then Canadian Football Hall of Famer Doug Brown will be joining us today. Winnipeg Blue Bombers great number 97 and the current Blue Bombers radio broadcaster will be with us on video chat, and also the president of the Saskatchewan Rattlers, Lee Genier, will be with us because they're very excited, and they should be. They are the they're billing themselves as the first Canadian league to return to play. If that wasn't true, they wouldn't be able to say it. So you and I, you've done more Rattlers work than I have. I go to all the games. You work at them. That's pretty big news for the pro basketball league.
It's big. It's only their second year of existence for the league. And it would have been, I think, just crippling for them to have such a great year and then go away. It's still pretty easy to forget, right? And all of a sudden, basketball's not a thing. Because it came and went so fast the last time it was in this country, and especially out in Western Canada. So I think it's huge. It's huge for them. They're going to have a great broadcast deal. I believe CBC's a part of that. So they're going to have a lot of attention for that month-long tournament. It's going to be great for the league.
They put sugar in my coffee at the drive-thru.
Uh-oh.
Oh, hate when that happens. First world problems. Are you ready for the quick six show topics?
That was literally your first sip of the
first big one, yeah. Thank you, Jordan. Quick six show topics here on the rollout for Flooring Superstore. Number one, we're getting into this more with John Frenzy, okay? But the Riders' financial picture. Not like it's gotten any better in the last 24 hours since it was unveiled Wednesday night. John Gormley really went after the green and white on his program yesterday. I was directed to it by some folks. I said, you got to hear this. I went back and listened to it this morning. Whew. So, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on the Rider financials, or we'll leave it for when Lynch comes in?
Sure. I'm interested to see what Lynch really thinks about it. I mean, we don't know if there's going to be a season yet. We don't know how accurate those are, but it's not good.
No, it's not
good. It's not good.
Leave it to Lynch. So we can spend some more time on this. Solomon Elamimian's comments yesterday. It was on an Edmonton radio station. I read it on 3downnation.com. You saw it, obviously. The president of the CFL Players Association, he said, the players are the only ones in the CFL right now not getting paid. And I thought Saul put it very well. He goes, this is not about Randy Ambrosi. I like Randy. If you know Randy Ambrosi, you would like him. He's a good man. Saul said, this goes past Orange, Mark Cohan. He goes, there's been three commissioners in my time in the CFL. The problems remain the same. This league is flipped on its head. Everybody gets paid but the players right now. And I just feel like we should all know that, but it seems like nobody knows what's going on.
That's the problem, right? It's a lack of information, lack of communication. And you always talk about expectations versus reality. When the season's supposed to start, you made plans. This is when you're supposed to be getting paid. And then it's not, but you don't know what the change is, right? When you're a player and you don't know, you know, if you're going to get paid, what's supposed to happen? Is the government going to help? Is the team going to help? Am I supposed to go get a job? Is there going to be a season? Is there not going to be a season? When there's more questions than answers, it's a bit of a problem. On the other side, they're not working. There's no games. They're not working. So I'm sure that's why they're not
Nobody else is working.
Clearly, where some people, you know, in the front office may still be actually going to work and trying to figure out, you know, how we're going to salvage things and make money and other opportunities and things like that. But you have to let the players know that and set an expectation so that they can, you know, plan out the rest of their summers and the rest of their year, because they're sitting here in limbo not knowing what to do and the bank account's draining quickly.
Viewer Brett Thompson writes in, says, sell raffle tickets to be a guest at the barbecue. Oh, it's a little late for that, isn't it?
Yeah.
We could get on it, I guess. We didn't even have a barbecue. We didn't even have a grill till 8:30 this morning. So,
but we do now.
It all just came together, but that's, I don't know. I guess we could have thought about that. I don't know. It just all came together.
Yeah. It's nice. You know, it's the family barbecue.
That's what it is.
When we do the public one, we'll have a little more planning. We'll maybe fly Tori out here in the middle of the summer, and we'll do it right.
What family? Because if it was the Hubick family, that's an army. We would have had to have a relief effort to feed the Hubick family if we were doing that. It's certain members of the Hubick family, right? And the Rod Peterson Show family. But back to the Saul thing. It's no laughing matter. I talked to a coach this morning on the phone, and he goes, I couldn't imagine not getting a paycheck for a year. Couldn't imagine it. And I said, out of curiosity, this was a CFL coach. I said, where are you getting your news from right now? And he said, well, I'm getting it from you. I said, oh, don't do that. I said, we're here just for your entertainment. We kick around the news. I said, you're going to 3downnation.com, I hope, for your news. He said, well, of course I am, but I watch your show every day. So he said, Saul's right. Saul is right. And I don't know. Wasn't a long talk on the phone, but this is the way the CFL has always looked at things. There are tens of thousands of football players out there. If you guys don't like this deal, we'll find guys that do. And that's kind of just the mentality of the workforce in general, is it not?
Yeah.
Like, I come from the broadcasting business. Hey, if you don't like the terms, there's 100 guys behind you that want to be on the air behind that microphone, so deal with it.
That's what determines your pay, right? The better you are, the harder you are to replace, the more money you're worth, right? It's all about how easy you can be replaced. And unfortunately, it doesn't come down to how hard you work. Some guys work really, really hard, but if there's 1,000 guys that can do the same job, it's easier to replace. You're not worth as much money.
And, you know, when they asked for the $150 million from the federal government, and everybody was so aghast at that amount, do you remember people were writing into this show saying, how much is that earmarked for the players? Is any of this earmarked for the players? And I just remember thinking, why do you ask? Do you think it should go to the players, or do you think it shouldn't go to the players? Because the one thing this coach said to me, who was an American, he said, why are CFL players exempt from federal funding, the relief? Why are they exempt from that? And I said, well, because they're basically independent contractors, very similar to what we do. If you're not under contract, you're out of a job. Basically, if you're not playing games, you're toast.
Right.
So the coach and I agreed, this all needs to change.
Big time.
So that, I think people are finally starting to zero in on what we've been talking about for months. They're starting to clue in on it. Does CFL 1.0, the business model we've known for 100 years, need to be burnt to the ground like a house that's on fire? As you, that's what Lynch, he agrees. Instead of trying to save the thing, just let it go. And you're on the phone to insurance.
Exactly.
While the flames are still burning.
You're not grabbing the fire extinguisher. You're grabbing the phone, calling up the
just
insurance company.
Just let it go.
Making plans, finding your realtor for a new lot, whatever, and you're starting to build. I think that's, you got to start looking forward. And that starts with, you know, getting the ownership group, the league, and the players all on the same page.
Jack Fulton's watching in Vulcan, Alberta. He says, it's extremely hard for me to believe there's even a remote chance of a 2020 CFL season with so much disconnect and lack of continuity from the top to the bottom. So There's silver linings and everything. You're always trying to look for the good. And the good here is that the CFL has been exposed for what it's been and that the players have been getting taken advantage of. I'm sorry. And furthermore, by the way, it kind of goes back to point one with the Riders' financial picture. The Riders finished, what were they, 13-5? First place last year. They hosted a home playoff game. 26,000 average attendance. That's 7,000 empty seats every game. Merchandise sales are down. And you're going to cut the coaches and players' salary? The guys that are doing the work? You're first place, 13-5, host the West Final, should have been in the Grey Cup, and you can't sell the stadium out, and you want to punish the coaches and the players. Is it not the business and marketing people's job to fill the stadium? Because the football guys did their job.
Yes.
You'll have your time.
The product's never been better.
The product's We've never been that. Better, and they're coming after the product, not paying the players at all, and cutting the coaches' salaries. I don't get it.
Well, and you talk about how easy guys can be replaced. There may be a line of 10, 15, 20, 50,000 players who would step in and play and could play. It wouldn't be the same product. The players you have in the field, the players you have in the locker rooms are pretty good. That's the cream of the crop. You've got lots of talented players out there, not enough to replace an entire CFL. So you got to find a way to get the players paid to get them.
As that coach and I agreed, Bo Levi Mitchell's, Mike Riley's, Cody Fajardo's, they don't grow on trees. They are the stars of the league. And by the way, they're not being paid right now either. John Kirby in Edmonton, Eskimo fan, writes in. He says, bye-bye, Rough Riders. There's only room for one team with green. Hey, John, wait till Edmonton reveals their financials. I don't think that you're going to be doing a tap dance on a grave here. The Eskimos, by the way, are the only team, from what I'm told, that has not cut staff and announced layoffs. They're the only team in the CFL. Now, they're community-owned, so they can do whatever they want, really. But I don't think they're... No team's going to have a rosy financial picture coming out of that.
No,
this is not the time to be sneering at the Saskatchewan Roughriders just because they went public with what their books are, because they had to, because they're community-owned.
But it gives us another window into that ask to the CFL, or to the Canadian government, too. You know, the Riders have long been considered the team that has the highest revenues every year, sell the most merchandise, the most tickets, and sponsorships and everything else. So if the revenues are high, they're probably having expenses that are going to get close to matching it. I can't imagine that their expenses would just equal everybody else's across the league. So if the Riders had a $10 million loss, and when you talked about the level of expenses and if all the revenue drops, I would imagine that the other teams may not be quite as bad. They might not be at $10 million losses, but they're still going to be up there. But if you said that they were all at $10 million, that's only $90 million across the league.
Only.
Plus the league. It's not 150.
Yeah.
Right. So now you're starting to bring that number back down into a world of reality, and you can start to figure out what the actual ask of the government will be. Once you start to clear up that picture, then you might get some financial support.
Rylan Betker writes in. He says, have any of the CEOs, owners, or executives, both on the teams and in the league office, taken any pay cuts due to COVID? The league office has. They announced, 25% pay cuts in that statement. It was a week ago today, I think, by Randy Ambrosi.
He said the league office and some of the executives across the league and teams up to 30%. Yeah, up to 30%. So some guys might have only taken 5%, some 10%, but they're taking 20 to 30% pay cuts.
Cool. But just going back to where we started this point with Solomon Elamimian, you got players tweeting at Randy Ambrosi, he's making 750 grand, cut that by 30%. Still some pretty big checks because the players are getting zero. It looks terrible. And I'm a Randy Ambrosi fan. But again, the product, the players are getting zero. Shall we move on?
Yes.
Well, it's not really moving on. Point three, James Wilder Jr.'s retirement. We kind of skimmed over that. Do you think he's done? What is he, 25, 26?
No.
You don't think he's done?
No, I don't. I mean, if he moves on, it's hard because once you take a step and move on to something different, you might really enjoy it. And if he transitions really well, he might really be done. But as we talked about with the Sim, everyone's asking, are we taking virtual James Wilder out of the lineup? Well, no, because if there was a season, he'd be playing. And that was his reasoning, too, right? There's no season. There's a lot of uncertainty. I need to move on, so I'm retiring, and I'm going to go coach. And, good for him. I think if the season were to come back in a week or two, I think he'd really have to think about it.
He's 28, Clark tells me. James Wilder Jr. announcing his retirement to go coach a high school football program in Tampa and also run a fitness facility, which has his name on it, yep. James Wilder Fitness. I don't know if that's his dad, if that's James, or both, because they're James Wilder 1.0 and 2.0, senior and junior. Point four, will the CFL play? If we put a poll up right now, I got a pretty good guess that would be a landslide. No. How could they? Borders still closed. Even if you brought them in, you're going to have to quarantine them. Clock's ticking, boys. It's July next month.
Yeah. We had worked back on that timeline of 2 weeks to quarantine and bring guys in. And, you know, as we've seen with, what, almost every other league, that when you open up the facilities, guys are going to get sick, right? So that's going to happen first. So you have to expect that if you're going to open the doors. And then you need another couple of weeks for training camp and everything else. And if you're going to kick off at the beginning of September, we kind of figured middle of July was kind of the drop-dead date just that we created to know that you're going to play and to start that process of bringing guys back in and opening the facility. So that doesn't give us a lot of time. What is that, 3 weeks?
Yeah,
that's happening. All we've got right happening. Now in my mind before we need a decision.
Elaine Otteson writes in. She says, Wilder is 28, has four kids and one on the way. He needs to be working. Life's about choices, right? He's got a family to feed. He's got to move on. Not everybody is in that situation. Others can afford to wait. We wish James Wilder well. He's a super guy. Will the NFL play? Tori says yes. Lee Steinberg says yes. Everybody says yes.
Yeah.
For their own reasons. And Tori will explain why when he comes on a little later. And point six, I like this. I think I do. Watching ESPN get up this morning, Tom Brady. Are you watching these workouts in Tampa
yes.
Bay? They got a damn news helicopter flying over top of the workout field in Tampa Bay, filming Tom Brady's workouts with the Buccaneers. These non-sanctioned workouts. And the headline on the bottom of the screen, the ticker, if you will, is Brady ignores NFLPA advice to not gather for non-sanctioned workouts. Yeah. He hasn't even played a game and he's cheating already.
Well,
now I love Tom.
They've advised against it. They haven't said that he can't work out. Him and Gronk got to get back on the same page. Have you seen Gronk? He looks pretty good. But
he always looks good. He looked good when he wasn't playing.
But that's Tom. He's going to do everything to try and make sure that they have the edge, right? He's going to do whatever it takes to make sure that they're ready. And as he's coming into a new organization, he's setting the standard. He's not letting the coaches set the standard or the rest of the team and come into their, you know, culture and their environment. He's coming in and saying, this is the new reality. This is the new normal now if you're playing on Tom Brady's team.
So those are the quick six show topics. We'll get into all of those. I'll just say this. I don't know if it was Tori or one of the other guys on our show said Tom's might be behind because he won't have the benefit of the OTAs and the extra additional reps that he likes to have, and he's getting them anyways. So this is good news for Buccaneers fans, all two of them that I know. Rock star of the day yesterday was Lee Steinberg, just so you know, the original Jerry Maguire. CFL sim last night, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders beat Hamilton 26-4. Last night, we called the game.
Alan's in the back room.
Alan, the intern.
Did he watch Jerry Maguire last night? That was his homework.
Alan, did you just pound on the wall once for yes, two for no? Yes,
oh, good.
We got it. Yes, he did. Okay, there will be a test later. Because you're Jerry effing Maguire. I love that show. Angus Reid poll. I don't know why I wanted to mention this, but I am. An Angus Reid poll, because I'm now on their mailing list, they sent to me this morning. The majority of Canadians favor a shorter work week. We've noticed that during the pandemic, they don't like working.
What?
Breaking news! Canadians want a shorter work week. 60% of them would favor a shorter work week. It's funny how they said it. Liberal-thinking Canadians want a shorter work week. The conservative-thinking Canadians don't. I like it, because those that want to work more and make more money, there's more opportunity for them.
Yeah. Well, half the poll is running the businesses with the employees. The other half of the poll are the employees. So the employees want the shorter
week.
The bosses want the longer week. They want them working longer. But
It's like if you're going to be the same pay, who the hell wouldn't want less hours? But if you're working by the hour, I wouldn't think you want a shorter work week.
No.
It's kind of funny reading those sim stats. NHL draft lottery, do you want to make a prediction who wins? I'm going to say Detroit.
I'll say Ottawa.
Perfect.
They need some good news in Ottawa.
We need a little rub between the two of us, but I'd like to see Lafreniere in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Why not?
You know,
it's Canadian kid.
That Montreal thing, when that was brought up last week or earlier this week, I think it would be great if he ended up in Montreal. He's not going to, but I thought that would have been awesome. But Ottawa would be great to have him for sure. They need something positive in that community.
That is scratching the surface of what we're going to talk about on the program. We'll decide when we come back. Is it Tori and John or just John? We'll see how the barbecue is setting up. And we'll see you for overtime.
You bet.
Cool? You got a lot to get set up here.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Some work to do.
Okay, thanks for chiming in. This is the rollout for Flooring Superstore. And we'll be right back with a sports update. And our special guest, it is the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com. Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED sign rentals. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website. IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
To the 16 guys who never back down, and to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Just ahead of John Frenzy, a sports update for this Friday morning. Vince Carter has called it a career. The 43-year-old retired Thursday, a formality given he'd said this would be the final season of his illustrious 22-year career, the most seasons in NBA history. Carter spent just over six seasons with the Toronto Raptors before the eight-time All-Star was dealt to New Jersey. Now, it was all rushed when we got in and we didn't sit down and talk about a poll question. Did you come up with one, Clark? Because a good one would be, should Vince Carter's number be retired by the Toronto Raptors? Because that's the, okay, because we haven't tweeted anything yet. Because no, the guy demanded to be traded out of Toronto. I don't think you retire somebody's jersey that does that. Ottawa Senators are hoping for a little luck when the first phase of the 2020 NHL Draft Lottery begins today. The lottery determines the first 15 picks in the draft between the seven teams that missed the Stanley Cup qualifiers and the eight that'll be eliminated in the qualifiers. And Canada Soccer is getting plenty of interest for its national women's team head coaching vacancy. The organization says it has received applications from around the world to succeed Kenneth Heiner Møller, who will return to his native Denmark at the end of August. Canada is currently ranked eighth in the world. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store corner of Rochdale and Pasqua. They are open at 50% capacity. See their Facebook page for their menu. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Everybody's writing in about our sim broadcast last night. John in Edmonton says next week it should be Saskatchewan versus Halifax. We can't do that. Halifax doesn't have a team yet. And people were saying, too, finally some touchdowns in our CFL Sim broadcast, which was aired on this Facebook Live channel last night. Cody Fajardo throwing two touchdowns in the second half to Jordan Williams-Lambert as the Riders virtually beat the Hamilton Tiger Cats 26-4 at Tim Hortons Field. John Frenzy joins us, Hall of Fame Saskatchewan Rough Riders broadcaster. How are you, Frenzy?
I'm doing great.
You are very excited about today's show, aren't you?
Yeah, I am, because we're going to talk about the fact that we had help yesterday on television and radio in Saskatoon, I guess, eh?
Help?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. I thought you were excited to talk ball with Tory Gurley. That's the big thing, right?
Yeah, we are. But I want to just make a comment about the radio show in Saskatoon.
Well, but with what John Gormley said about the Rough Riders yesterday.
Yeah, John Gormley went out there and he was upset that he hadn't heard a thing from the Rough Riders, from the president, Craig Reynolds, or the chairman of the board, Randy Beattie. And I think that's a legitimate concern. He wants to know what's going on. Because the team lost $200,000. They're going to have to give $600,000 to Montreal as a part of every team in the league. After last year, other eight teams are going to give the Alouettes $600,000. That's something. Hey, that's something.
Well, they already did give the Alouettes the money.
I know they did, but it's hard to understand. And I guess we agree with it, do we?
Well, I wrote down on the quote from Gormley. He says, on bad news days, these Riders head for the hills. So the point was that when there's good news to be had, you hear from them. When there's bad news to be had, you don't. And he said that he would like to have had them on his program to discuss the plight of the team. Where are they? That's the quote from John Gormley. But, you know, John, you've been around this team longer than me. Those transfer payments, if you will, all through the 90s were bankrupting the Rough Riders. I was thinking about this the other day. How come they had to have telethons just for the Riders? Because all the money from here was going to Toronto and to Vancouver, right?
Yeah, and we'd have some great years, great attendance. We knew they made a good profit, about, you know, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, and yet be announced as $40,000 or $20,000 because the transfer payments, you call them, were going to the Argos or the Alouettes to keep them alive. And we kept doing this for 20 to 30 years. I mean, I don't know, back in 1970 we did this. Then it was 1997. So, I mean, we've been doing too much of that. It's hurt us. It's hurt this football team to have to do that. And here we are again. We're in a very, very critical financial situation as we talk today.
So, as I sit here and think about it, because I remember the 97 telethon, fuzzy memories of the 80s, why was it just the Riders at that time? Because now it's the whole league that needs the money. Why has it changed this time around?
I don't know the answer to that, but the Riders were the ones who were transferring it out. I know.
Right.
And they had the good money. They had, well, good attendance.
Well, what we're basically saying was in those telethons, the money was coming out of this province to fund the rest of the CFL.
Yeah.
And this time around, it's going to take the whole country to save the league. Fair?
In that time, we're talking about the past, the Riders were saving the league. They were here to save the league and doing it every year. You thought, well, they're going to have a big profit this year, $150,000 this year, maybe $300,000 this year. Wow, that's great. Then they'd come up with this situation where they have to help Montreal or Toronto and BC, sometimes all three, to survive for the next year. And I mean, it got to be repetitious. And it hurts. You can't do it. You can't keep on doing it. And right now, I think it's caught up to the Riders. At least according to Reynolds, he's really upset about things. He says they're in a very critical situation. The most critical situation in the history of this football team, Craig Reynolds says, next year, finance-wise.
There's no doubt, and it's not just caused by the pandemic. I didn't hear the Rob Vanstone quotes on the Gormley Show. I didn't listen to it long enough, but apparently he said COVID has just exposed the fact that this franchise has been perilously perched financially. It's just ripped the cover off, that it wasn't going in the right direction. But I wouldn't say that it's caught up to Saskatchewan, John. I would say it's caught up to the CFL, because the business of the CFL financially has grown so much that we, out of this province, can't afford to support the whole CFL anymore. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
So it needs to change. So what about your thoughts on our second point here that Solomon Elamimian says, the Players Association president, everybody's getting paid but the players. It's something that I knew in the back of my head, but until I saw it in black and white, I'm like, damn, he's right. This is wrong.
Well, it's hard to believe. I can't believe it. You know, great players like him. I mean, he's the chairman of the Rough Rider position on the players' board. It's not right. It's just morally not right. I don't understand why that's happening. You don't get an answer why. it's not right. Those guys are great players. Elamanian's been an all-star this year, been an all-star the last 3 years. Outstanding player in the league 2 years ago. He should be getting played well. And he has been in the past, and he deserves to get played this year. And I don't know what's going to happen if they don't pay those players. I know I hear what McCauley says, or Wilder says, James Wilder, who's a great running back, by the way, was a great one at Florida State, has been pretty good in the CFL, and great in Montreal, and wants to play in the CFL, really wants to play football here. Heartbroken about that he can't play football. But he has no money. And he's got four kids. He's going to get a job in Toronto.
Tampa.
Tampa. But he knows he has to and doesn't want to do it. And there's several people in that situation. And I just don't know what the answer is, the great players we have in this league. Because if we lose them next year, we'll have a heck of a time getting them back next year for 21.
Oh, they're gone.
Well, okay, I'm saying if we lose them for this year, 2020, if we don't put the team in the field this year, we let everybody go, fold the league for all intents and purposes, it'll be unbelievably difficult for us to get a new team right from scratch in 2021. And that's the point I'm trying to bring across. Because I was told from people, war veterans, who were around after the end of the 1944 war came to an end, they didn't have a team in the Rough Riders in 1955. The only 2 years before that were 1916 and 1917. Other than that, up from the day they started this football team, April 13th, 1910, till today, they've only missed the playoffs three times. Can you believe that? Isn't that fantastic? No,
that they haven't had a season, you mean?
Yeah, I haven't had a season.
They've missed the playoffs far more times.
But they haven't had
missed a season.
But they haven't had a team.
Yeah.
We have the best record for having a team participate in this league than any other team. So he said, when we came back into 1955 to rebuild and get going again, or 1946, I should say, we had a poor team, hardly anybody. We barely could put a team in the field. A losing team. 1947, a bit better. 1948, a bit better. Very difficult. Finally, in 1949, when the Calgary Stampeders came into the league all guns blazing and brought some real great imports in, like quarterback Keith Spaeth, running and receiver Sugarfoot Anderson and Woody Strode, the league got better. And in 48, the Rough Riders went and got an import, a legendary import by the name of Patterson. But what's his name?
Gabe?
Gabe Patterson, yeah.
I know that? It was 1948. From listening to you.
Then things got better. 49, we're good. 50, we're pretty good. 51, we're in the Grey Cup with Glenn Dobbs, and things got better from then on. But
they had to start over.
You had to start over, and they start right from scratch back in 1946. And he said, you can't let it go.
I need you to land the plane here. Like Jack in Alberta says, Rod, haven't the players always been paid the least? This is nothing new. The point is, Jack, they're not being paid at all. That's what Solomon's saying. The players aren't getting checks, but everybody else is, and they're the product. Please tell me, in what universe would that be normal, other than the Canadian Football League? Jeff, the Stamps fan, says, are you sure about those transfer payments to Montreal? Jeff, it's been reported far and wide. Just because you don't get CFL coverage in Calgary, don't blame us. There's a thing called the Internet. It's all over the place.
It's hard to believe, but it is there. It's there. I know it is there. And it's ridiculous. It's insane. It's stupid. Whatever you want to call it. And they've got to act on it quickly. The next 2 weeks.
I think. Or what?
Well, the middle of July. It's what? July? No, July 1st next week. So next 3 weeks. They've got to react on it and say quickly what we're going to do. Here is what we're going to do. And we're going to have a league for this year beginning in October. We've all worked it out. We haven't heard from people, but behind the scenes, they're all working at it. They care. They give a damn because it doesn't seem like they do, but we're going to hear they do. I hope that.
Jason Fichter writes in, the moderator, the owner of the Ryder Prider fan page. He says, why can't players apply for CERB? I know it isn't much, but it's something. They do pay taxes in Canada. It's a great question, Jason, but we don't know the answer to that. As I mentioned, that coach that I talked to this morning, he said, why are players not eligible for federal funding? I don't know the answer. They're just not. No. Randy Ambrosi at least mentioned last week that they've applied to the government. They've requested to the government that their players be eligible for federal aid. But as we sit here today, a week later, we don't have an answer. And this, I don't know, last I checked, my bills keep piling up. Like, if I was, do your bills get put on pause, John? I don't think so. Like, as they sit here and wait, these players, their bills keep mounting. It's wrong. And this is a systemic problem that's gone on for a long time in the Canadian Football League. I'll say it again. I admire Saul because he said things that I just never really looked at, but I agree with. He goes, this is not about Randy Ambrosi. I like Randy. This has predated every commissioner. And Saul has been in the league. There's been three, which is a problem right there. The NHL's had one commissioner since 1992. Goodell, similar with the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Like this, the CFL's been exposed here.
Yeah.
That's all. So this needs to be looked at in the next CFL because they're not playing, John. David Brayley came out yesterday. Well, actually, a spokesman for David Brayley telling TSN Radio in Vancouver that we got to play. Even at 50% capacity, we got to play. If we don't have fans in the stadiums, we're folding. Because at least it's some revenue. It's like what you say, Jason, with CERB, at least it's something. That's what Brayley's saying. What did he say? 20,000 people in BC Play Stadium, at least paying some ticket in revenue, some concession revenue, if they're allowed to do that. But it's not going to happen.
I cannot, and you've heard me say this before, believe there isn't a group of influential men, key people in each team, got together, I guess the owners and presidents, or general managers, to get something going on this, because it's going to be too late pretty soon. In a couple of weeks, it'll be too late.
They can't change the border being closed. They can't change the quarantine laws.
Well,
that's what's holding them up right now.
Well, the quarantine laws are being altered a little bit. And the boys coming across the border, that's going to be altered a little bit. Our coach got back, eh?
Yeah, a while back from Montana.
In Montana.
Colin is watching in Ottawa. He says, Brayley has already said he won't do hub cities, and you got to think his word means a lot with the Board of Governors because he's saved the league in the past. There was a time David Brayley ran the CFL. He owned two teams.
Oh, I know.
Which everybody thought was a joke. I didn't. He saved the CFL at the time. You know what? Brayley has saved the CFL so many times. I think he's sitting there going, I'm not doing it anymore.
Oh, I think he is too.
That's the sense that I'm getting.
Enough. And maybe he should say finally had enough and hell with it and see what happens. I was quite surprised that we've gone through this thing three times, this Montreal thing, 1970, 97, and again right now, and last year. I didn't know that. I thought it was just once. So it's been a problem.
Tarsi Shindelka in Edmonton's watching. He says, return Mark Cohan. We need a commish that can actually grow the game and have compassion for all sides. This would be a stiff test for Mark Cohan. This would be a stiff test for anybody to save the CFL in this climate. Listen, we're going to break frenzy. This is what you've been waiting for. And get ready. I'm going to butter you up, Tori. You've seen him on ESPN, Fox Sports, NFL Network, SEC Network. What else? The Rod Peterson Show. And on the field in the National Football League, Canadian Football League, and NCAA, the great Tori Gurley joins us right here in the bunker next. It's a Football Friday on the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top-quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, We're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Welcome back to the RP Show, everybody, on this Football Friday, episode 264 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show, coming to you from the sweatpants capital. Just ahead of Tory Gurley, John O'Flynn's watching in Vancouver, and he says, I'm still trying to figure out, as I'm in BC, who is the iron lung of Saskatchewan? John, you something got miscommunicated there. The iron lung is the nickname for the bus. It's not a person. Riding the iron lung is the bus. So I don't know what was missed there, but that's the deal. Tori, should I go through your entire playing history or...
Nah.
We only have an hour and a half left.
Yeah, let's just talk about the TV side. We can just say I played in the league, but we can talk about
the TV played in stuff. The league and certainly in the CFL with the Argos, Bombers. Am I missing anybody there? Carolina Gamecocks. And, of course, John Frey. Lynch, I'm just going to hand it over to you and just say go with Tory because you just wanted to talk ball with him. It's all he's talked about all morning.
Tory, pardon me. What a situation in Canada and in the NFL. But the NFL says they're going to go no matter what. Do you really believe no matter what happens they're going to have a season?
There's definitely going to be an NFL. And the reason why there's going to be a National Football League is – the money it generates, the opportunities and the jobs that are out here for everyone. You know, when you talk about ticketing, you talk about tailgating, merchandise, that's what helps grow the league and that's what builds the league. And if they go without that, it could truly set back everything the players have done in the current CBA that they have now. So it's extremely important for the NFL, the National Football League, to have those games on Sunday because if not, when you think about the television money from Fox, CBS, ESPN, ABC, that will take away from your salary cap. So now if you're a guy like Dak Prescott or Patrick Mahomes, you know, Patrick Mahomes is looking to sign a blank check. You know, he's going to have one of the biggest deals in NFL history. Well, if they don't play this year, he's not going to get paid that deal. And now it affects everyone. So it's extremely important for business to go on as usual. I think even with the COVID pandemic that's going on right now, they're going to just power through it. You know, currently the NFL is one of those monopolies where they can go find guys off the street because there's only 4,000 spots. There's millions of football players on this earth, but if a guy gets hurt or if a guy comes down with COVID, they're able to replace him because you have so many great college athletes that are praying for opportunity. And I think it could be a chance where people can make the most of this situation in this unique year.
You think they will, eh? They'll go no matter what.
Hands down.
But so you're very confident. Is it just because there's so much more money, Tory? Because we'd like to say the same thing about the NBA, the NHL, and MLB, but until they get on the field, I have my doubts, or the ice. But that's because of the money.
Yeah,
that's the difference?
It's definitely money and revenue. It's hands down because these guys – they're getting paid a lot of money. And these organizations, these beer sponsors, they want to see someone on TV with the helmet. Something the NFL does a great job of is, unlike the NBA or Major League Baseball, they celebrate teams. So a fan would be happy to see anyone in a Buccaneers jersey or a Packers or a Cowboys jersey. If Tom Brady comes down with COVID, the NFL is not going to stop because you have so much talent. Somebody else is going to step up and play extremely well. And you're like, you might fall in love with that new guy whoever he is. As long as you have a product on the field and the coaches are coming up with good schemes, I think right now in this situation, we'll be happy to see any type of ball on TV.
Now, what about Tom Brady? You're talking about him gone to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, this is unheard of. Great move by the people in Tampa Bay to do this, by the way. Gutsy move, and pay him the big money. But he wasn't getting the big money with in New England. And I could never understand why. One of the lowest paid quarterbacks in the league. And how do you understand why he isn't making the money that Cousins is making or Prescott?
The way Bill Belichick runs New England, first of all, is a first-class organization. And he treats everyone the same.
Which is badly.
And that's bad because when you look at a guy like Tom Brady, you expect him to break the bank.
Yeah.
But whenever he buys into a system saying, hey, I will take less and allow my teammates to get these certain pieces, that hurts him as an individual. Now, New England, the team, Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick, you know, they're able to make as much money as they want. But as Tom Brady, he did not have a say-so on who he drafted or who he wanted on offense.
I think that ticked him off.
And that's what truly hurt him. Because if you are a player and you make a lot of money, now you can throw your weight around a little more and say, hey, you guys are paying me top dollar. I get to handpick who I want because it kind of go hand in hand. But whenever Bill Belichick can come to you and say, hey, if I'm not paying the best quarterback of all time top dollar, John, what make you think you're going to get paid top dollar? So it's already conditioned in your brain that you're not going to go to New England and break the bank, but you will have opportunity to play for the Super Bowl, and that's what guys end up trading that for.
Well, he's got a big opportunity now with Tampa Bay, but I just think that's totally incredible. People are trying to figure out why he wanted to leave New England, why Brady wanted to leave New England. I think it's simple, just what we're talking about. He got sick and tired of not being paid a big salary. He's still not number one. He should be paid the number one salary in the National Football League because he's the best player.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the salary standpoint. I just think he wanted Bill Belichick to say, you know what, young man? If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be in this situation. Thank you. That never came out of Bill Belichick's mouth because Bill Belichick is notorious for being like, you know what, next man up. When those guys went out and won Super Bowls when they were the underdogs, they walked out as the New England Patriots. It wasn't the Tom Brady's. It was, okay, we're going to go out, we're going to take the ball away from people, we're going to put up just enough points, and I got a hell of a kicker in Adam Vinatieri where if the game comes down to a field goal, he's going to ice the game.
Okay, better quarterback now. He's gone.
Yeah.
Bobby O'Brien.
Brian Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer.
I play with Brian Hoyer in Cleveland. Shout out to Hoyer.
Well, I mean, he's 93, isn't he?
No,
he's 44. He's 34.
Yeah.
And the city of the guy they drafted from Auburn did a great job at Auburn. I know that. And he'll be going into his second year this year, and they're going to make him a starter.
I see nothing wrong with that. This is the same New England Patriots that had Drew Bledsoe, highest paid quarterback in the league. He gets knocked out in a game against the Jets. A young man named Tom Edward Brady comes in, and the rest is history. This guy was on a rookie contract, not making a lot of money. And they was able to go out and beat the St. Louis Rams, and they were the greatest show on turf, and they went out and beat those guys. No one gave them a chance, but they were able to play solid football. I was talking to Garnet earlier, and we were talking about different schemes, and the biggest thing that came up was knowing your identity. Bill Belichick is very confident in himself. He's like, you know what? I'm going to put together a great defense, I'm going to have a great run game, and I'm going to have a quarterback. We're not going to go up and down the field like Patrick Mahomes, but we're going to do just enough to hang around the ball game just in case if they make a mistake, we can come out of there and get the win.
How about Aaron Rodgers now in Green Bay? They drafted a rookie this year, Jones, the figure of
Jordan Love.
And he'll be good in a couple of years. And they say that Rodgers understands this. One article I hear says this. Another one says he doesn't because he feels he's done nothing but good stuff for this team, which is true. How come they bring this guy and pretty well anoint him for the year 2022?
I love a pissed off Aaron Rodgers. And I've experienced that firsthand. I played with Aaron for 2 years in Green Bay. And whenever Coach McCarthy got up under his skin, he does a great job of sticking it to people. You know, he still carries that chip on his shoulder from being drafted, not in the early first round, but late. You know, that's something that still, like, eats away at him each day, like how Michael Jordan felt about being cut from his high school team. So now with the pissed off Aaron Rodgers, and even though things didn't go as smoothly as they wanted in the NFC Championship game, I think he's going to have a big year where he can light it up because he has something to prove. And he felt that way when it came to Brett Favre. Remember when Brett Favre was somewhat dangling into being like, oh, I want to play or I'm going to retire.
Yeah.
Aaron had to sit there and take all of that and take the high road. So
yeah,
now,
but wait a minute. Now, let's get serious about that. Now, I know you're saying I watched that draft very thoroughly. Mm-hmm. He was going to be drafted of fourth or fifth because he's going to succeed Brett Favre. And he was so upset he wasn't in the draft in the top 10, top 15, top 20. He was drafted number 24 in the first round. So that's not too bad.
He was pissed off because everyone had him projected to be the first quarterback taken off the board. Alex Smith ended up getting drafted to San Francisco, and that's who they took. And he wanted to stay home. Like, he wanted to play in California because he's a California kid. So with him having that chip on his shoulder, I mean, that guy was – he was ready. He was destined for greatness. And I think this year, with the defense, the way they played, with the transactions they made on defense, having Preston Smith, having Za'Darius Smith, and having Jair Alexander at corner, the Packers, defensively, they got enough just to get it done. But as long as you have 12 at quarterback, Mr. Discount Double Check, you're always in the game. And that's what I love about them. And I think they'll be pretty good this year. So despite him having that young kid behind him, he's going to show that young kid up and let him know, like, hey, kid, just enjoy this ride on the bench for the next 4 or 5 years.
How about Mike McCarthy now, the former Packer coach? Won a Grey Cup for them, a Super Bowl for them. Did a pretty good job, I thought. Was rather surprised he was fired, but he and Mr. Murphy didn't get along. He is in Dallas now, and he's working for Jerry Jones, who is a very demanding owner. And Jerry Jones wants to win the Super Bowl this year, and he's got the quarterback signed now, a big contract, $30.1 million per year. What sort of a team do you think Mike McCarthy is capable of coaching and generating in Dallas?
I think he's underrated as a coach. I do think Aaron overstepped his boundaries with somewhat pushing Mike McCarthy out of the door. But now with Mike having an opportunity to rebuild in Dallas with the talent he has, you have Ezekiel Elliott, one of the best running backs in the league. You probably have one of the best offensive lines in the league. And now you have a quarterback. He's not your guy, but I think Mike McCarthy is great, as great of a coach as he is, that he can show Dak some things that's going to make his game a lot better because that offense is wide open. Not saying that they're going to go out here and light it up, but he's going to be able to pick spots where Dak can make the most of, and now you can hand it off to a stud. Because something that Mike McCarthy has never had was a 1,000-yard running back as great as Ezekiel Elliott. And now when you can lean on him, it's going to open up play action, and that gives easier reads for Dak Prescott. So Dak might not statistically throw for all the yards as he did last year, but with them winning more games and making easier throws, Dallas could have a shot to be a playoff team this year.
I got to jump in for a second.
Okay.
And by the way, you're getting the magic that is John Frenzy, Torrey. Are you realizing that? That guy is on top of his game today. But I can't let this go without you saying or clarifying. You mentioned Aaron pushing Mike McCarthy out of Green Bay. Now, hear me out. I've never been in the NFL like you, just loosely associated with it. The leagues that I come from, the CFL and the Western Hockey League, you could never have a player oust a coach in those leagues. You couldn't, right, John? The coaches oust the player. I could give you hundreds of examples.
Yeah.
Is the National Football League that different, that the players are that big of stars, that they can oust coaches?
Definitely. There are players that have that type of power. And not saying that Aaron was in the forefront of it, but I'm quite sure he helped induce it. You know, with the way he played, because I've seen Aaron, while Mike was there, some of the play calls, he kind of roll his eyes or kind of feel a certain type of way about Mike, the way he was doing things. But now, when that opportunity came, when they were able to bring in LaFleur, Aaron didn't have to say so in hiring him, but at least they were on the same page. Like, okay, well, my name is Aaron, and this is how I'm going to do things, so you guys are going to get with it or get lost. But I think the Packers did something different. They went out and drafted their guy. because they understand like Aaron is getting older. He's on the downside of coming up on 40 in a couple years, and they need to have a guy for the future. And you know, LaFleur signed that contract for 6 or 7 years, and he want to make sure that he's covering his behind, because if he loses, he want to lose with his player. He doesn't want to lose with the Aaron Rodgers, even though that seems far fetched. But if the poop does hit the fan, I'd rather have my guy, you know, who we our first round draft pick, than me dealing with the old regime.
I got a couple of the latest books for this year predictions so far, and believe it or not, both of them are predicting the Cleveland Browns to make the playoffs. You think there's any chance of that?
As they did last year, by the way. As they did last year.
Yeah, I got love for Cleveland, but I don't know. I think it all falls on the shoulders of Baker Mayfield. Everything, it truly falls on him, because he has a coach in Stefanski. He has so much talent. Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb. You have Kareem Hunt that's on the bench as a backup running back. You have Njoku, Austin Hoop. You have so much talent. It all falls on Baker Mayfield to go out and disperse the ball, and just the leadership. Like, if Baker goes out and he does some boneheaded things, then it truly can be a detriment to the team. But it's all on him this year, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, and I hear it really is all on him. See, if he doesn't make it, he is gone.
Yes, definitely.
Is that pretty rough?
No, that's part of that's nature of the beast. You know, and Cleveland, and the thing about it is Cleveland, if they have a bad year, I think here are the two teams that I think can tank, and it makes the most sense for them. I think New England could tank, and the reason why I say New England could tank, their most valuable player right now is one of my closest friends, Stephon Gilmore. He's a cornerback. If New England, say, first 6-8 weeks of the season, they're 2-5 or 2-6, you have the trade deadline coming up in halfway mark of the season. You trade Stephon Gilmore, you get draft picks, you tank the rest of the season, and there's a young man at Clemson named Trevor Lawrence. Now you're in the lottery to get that guy. So now
Gilmore at Clemson, yeah, Clemson.
Yeah. So, and I can see Cleveland doing the same thing. Like, you know what? If it doesn't work, if it's a dumpster fire, we'll tank the rest of the season, and we'll be in the running for Trevor Lawrence. And now you still get to keep that same talent, and you bring in Trevor Lawrence on a rookie contract.
Kansas City all the way?
I think it's going to be between Kansas City and Baltimore, but something about winning the Super Bowl and having extended offseason, you get fat and lazy because everyone is telling you how great you are. Like, you wake up every day and you are a Super Bowl champ. You lose that sense of urgency. And it wouldn't shock me if they come out opening game on Thursday. I don't know who they play, but I know they have the first game of the season. If they go out and get beat, it wouldn't shock me at all.
By the way, from our viewers, we've got quite a few questions here. From our intern, Alan, you met him, the Asian sensation. Oh, yeah. He wants to know if there will be the same hype for Trevor Lawrence as there was for Joe Burrow going into last year's draft.
It's going to be more hype because Trevor Lawrence would have been the number one pick this year. You know, this guy is extremely talented. I was able to work with him at a camp, the Adidas football camp last year. It was Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Hurts, and Justin Herbert. I've seen all these guys, got to work with them up close and personal in California, and Trevor Lawrence, literally, head and shoulder, one of the best throwers. Matter of fact, he and Patrick Mahomes were the best quarterback at that camp.
Really?
And Patrick was already Patrick was there as a counselor, just like I was. But
how about Hurts? I think he comes off Oklahoma. He can go to Philadelphia and be the difference maker there.
But you paid Carson Wentz $100 million.
Yeah, too much.
Yeah, so the money plays in the National Football League. So if you have a $100 million contract, best believe he's going to take the majority of the snaps. Now, they might have some stuff for Jalen Hurts to go out and, you know, maybe some wildcat, maybe a two-point conversion, similar to Taysom Hill with the New Orleans Saints. Yeah. Now, I don't appreciate how they pulled Drew Brees out of the game in key moments for Taysom Hill, but, hey, you know, that's part of the game. But I think Doug Peterson in Philadelphia, they'll find a way to make it work. It's not going to be a two-headed quarterback, but they'll have certain schemes set up for him to keep the defense honest.
From the viewers, and by the way, we'll keep this rolling into hour two. Lynch, you want to stick with us an hour two?
Sure.
Are you having fun?
I certainly am.
I had a sense.
I am.
Dumb question from me. Yeah, of course. This is exactly what we wanted. In terms of Tori being here, and the barbecue is very nice too. from Brian Warishin from Vancouver watching. He runs the BC Lions Den podcast. He wants your thoughts on the Seattle Seahawks in 2020.
Woo. There's a lot of talk about Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon potentially being free agent signings for Russell Wilson.
Oh, boy.
I think Russell does not get enough credit. He's one of the smartest players, very versatile, and you can depend on him week in and week out. I mean, he really hasn't missed too many games in his 6-7 year career. And if they can put some pieces around him, I think Seattle will be tough. But currently, they don't. They're somewhat old school. They like depending on the run game. But I think if you just open the offense up and let Russ do his thing, that guy's extremely dangerous.
Okay. But they have to do it with those two guys, A.B. and Josh Gordon?
Man. Like, I think Pete Carroll can handle those type of personalities as well as Russell Wilson. But if not, you know, the Seahawks are still in the playoffs without those type players.
Right.
But that right there could get them over the top.
Okay. We've danced around it, so you know I'm going to ask it. Who, in your opinion, is the best quarterback in the National Football League?
Oh, Patrick Mahomes. Right now.
I'm amazed why you say that.
And the reason why I say Patrick Mahomes is he's only been playing pro football for 2 years. And the light bulb is cut on. This guy is he's not even in his prime. But the ability he has to extend plays in the pocket, he has a bazooka arm. I mean, a bazooka. You put it on your shoulder and you just let it fly. And he can throw it 80, 90 yards. And we have guys like Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Mecole Hardman. When you have that type of speed on the perimeter, it truly stresses the defense because you really can't take your foot off the gas. I think the only way to beat the Kansas City Chiefs is to blitz them. Like you gotta frustrate them. You gotta have somebody in his face, and you gotta have someone to hit him. Because if not, if you give him time, he'll pick you apart like a pulled pork sandwich.
All right. We need to pause. Let me just say this. What is on the menu for the barbecue, Tori, as we close hour one? What you got in the bag?
We have our famous marinated, Kim and I, my sugar, we have our famous marinated chicken. We have our burgers, and we have hot dogs as well. So I think it's about 11 or 12 of us. I got enough for the crew, and I think we're truly going to sit back and enjoy. But last but not least, we have Kim's famous macaroni and cheese.
Oh, nice.
Yes, so it's about to go down. It's it's a good old-fashioned barbecue here.
Have we sent DuPont out for buns? He's on that?
Well, we brought that, too.
You got it all?
Yeah, we got it. I just need that Kingsford charcoal. I can't cook without it.
Okay. Well, we got Phil Rossignol bringing in the grill. Frenzy sticking with us in hour two. Tori Gurley with us, our NFL insider, NFL, CFL, NCAA alum, and Blue Bombers Hall of Famer, Canadian Football Hall of Famer, Doug Brown, coming up in hour two, as well as the president of the Saskatchewan Rattlers pro basketball team, Lee Genier. Stick around. We'll be right back. It's the RP Show on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, Rod Squad, now you can join the team with your very own RP Show gear. Head to rodpetersonshop.com and get yours today while supplies last. It's just like we wear on the show, official RP Show gear at rodpetersonshop.com.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years and it's been a great experience.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
locally owned and family operated. Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.